Amen. Since we met this time last year, there's been so much transition, not only in the world, but also in Ebenezer and in our music ministry. And so we're able to say today, I have so many reasons to rejoice. Thank you, choir. As we continue this sermon series, I ask that you continue to join me in prayer. Ask God to speak to you and to others. Ask God to touch you and others, and pray that we grow to become a tithing church. This text for today has been used several times this month, once for our responsive reading, and I wanted to sink into our thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through verse 12, New International Version. And the text says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." The word of our God. Generous and heartfelt giving. Wrapping up these installments of sermons on the stewardship of giving, and we've been following them up with discussions on Wednesday evenings about giving. Last Sunday, we looked at the biblical concept of tithing. We said that tithing, giving one-tenth, is the minimum expectation for God's people. An offering is what we give beyond the tithe. We also said that tithing is one biblical method of giving. Usually, tithes and offerings constitute what is known as annual budget giving. Most congregations depend upon tithes and offerings to support their budget and week-to-week expenses. Today, we want to look at other approaches to giving. And these other approaches rest upon the foundation of what I call generous and heartfelt giving. Not that tithing isn't generous or heartfelt, but these other windows for giving definitely require a generous heart. In his book, Giving and Stewardship in an Effective Church, Kenan Callahan lists several options for giving, which I briefly mentioned at the end of my sermon last Sunday, these options. He talks about First, spontaneous giving. And that's sort of on impulse. You show up to worship. You one day you get this impulse as through the leading of the Spirit, and you give a generous gift to the church. It's just the Spirit touched you and said to you, and I've had people to call me on the phone during the years I've been a pastor and say, Pastor, God has led me to do this. And they just give a generous contribution to the church. That's spontaneous giving. And then he also talks about major worship giving. Those are special services like Easter, church anniversary, Mother's Day, Father's Day, those times when a big crowd gathers because of a special occasion. He argues that when you have big crowds like that, more people are there to give to. You get special giving on those days. And then special planned giving, like giving to a special cause, a mission project, something with ongoing impact. Haiti, hurricane in Haiti, or earthquake in Haiti, or Hurricane Ida. That's a special planned giving time. He also talks about short-term major project giving, so that if you want to build a new building or do a capital improvement or debt retirement or mission, that's a special project, short-term project giving beyond the tithes and offering. And as we mentioned a moment ago, annual budget giving, those tithes and offerings that we give throughout the year for the ongoing work of the church. And then last, enduring gifts. Those are memorial gifts or bequests to fund a special cause. Somebody might say, I want to give this money so that the youth ministry can continue for the next 20 years. I'm going to take care of that budget. Or I want to give a gift in memory of my loved one. Or I want to leave some of my estate to the congregation for the just enduring gift. So there are different approaches to giving in addition to just tithes and offerings. And Callahan contends that congregations must provide windows of opportunity for persons to give. And I think that these other approaches to giving are rooted in a heart that is generous and a heart that is touched by the Spirit. And that's what Paul addresses in our text for today. During Paul's day, there were more Jewish Christians than Gentile Christians at first. But because of Paul's missionary work, many Gentiles, non-Jews, were converted to Christ. And these Gentile congregations in Macedonia, in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Galatia, and other places that we read about in Scripture, these congregations grew and flourished. And they grew in numbers and they grew in wealth. At the same time, there were Jewish congregations that were doing well, but many of the Jewish congregations, especially in Jerusalem, were struggling and in dire need of support. They were composed of poor people without many resources. So Paul, in response to these poor congregations, decides to receive collections for the poor Jewish congregations. He says they need financial assistance, and some of the churches send money, and some make pledges. And the Corinthian church, where this letter is written to the Corinthians, was enthusiastic about this poor saints collection. We used to have that collection in the church. I don't know if you had it labeled like that in Texas, but in Illinois, we had the poor saints offering. We had three tables. The deacons stood behind three tables: the table of the Lord, table of the church, and the table of the poor. And they took up a poor saints offering. Well, this is the original poor saints collection. Paul collecting money for the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And so the Corinthians are enthusiastic at first, but then they become sluggish about it. They don't send in the money. They don't honor their pledge. You know how it is sometimes. Sometimes people say, I'm going to give this, I'm going to give that, I'm going to do this and do that. And when the campaign starts out, they're gung-ho. But as the campaign continues, it gets sluggish and people start slowing down and things start tripping. So that's what happened with the Corinthians. And Paul writes to remind them of their pledge. That's what this message is about in this text. He writes to remind them of their pledge and to encourage them to complete what they started. He says, you made a pledge, to give, and now I want you to finish it. I want you to complete what you started. And what he says in this message, I think, is instructive for us as we think about generous and heartfelt giving. First thing that Paul says to them is you've got to be willing. He says you made a pledge, but you've got to have a willing heart. And I'm going to start with the last two verses of the text that we read, verses 11 and 12. Now, Paul says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And so Paul talks about a critical component of heartfelt and generous giving, and that component is willingness. The Corinthians must be willing to give. To give against their will makes the gift unacceptable. And Paul teaches they have to be so willing that they are even eager to give. So he addresses, I want you to be willing. I want you to be eager about completing this gift to these poor saints, completing the pledge that you have made. Paul also encourages them to excel in giving. He says, just as you excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in love, excel also in the grace of giving. So Paul says, in effect, I want you to have the right spirit. That's what he means about being willing. I want you to have the right spirit so that whatever the Corinthians give has to come from the right spirit and a willing heart. And that's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I know some people might be saying, oh, well, yeah, every time I put my money in there, I'm giving what I have in my heart to give. But he's talking about generous and heartfelt giving. God loves a cheerful giver. The Corinthians have to be willing. I told you before about I had several siblings, and sometimes we would get into arguments. Sometimes we would get into fights. And when we got into fights, we were forced to make up after the fight or the disagreement. And after receiving a lecture, first we'd get a lecture. And in some cases, if the infraction was too severe, we got a spanking. I know you all don't know about spanking, but we got a spanking. And after the spanking, we were told, while we're standing there hurting and crying, now apologize to each other. And after the apology, we were told, now kiss and make up. And sometimes, as you know, the apology was forced. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're so mad, but you say that. Or sometimes the hug was forced. We didn't want to do it. We were walking. But sometimes in our house, we had to repeat it several times. Because my mother would say, you didn't mean that. Do it again. You didn't mean that. Say it again. We had to repeat it several times until it seemed sincere, until we apologized, and until we made up with the right spirit. And nobody wants to receive something when a person's heart is not in it. And that's what God is saying through Paul. We have to be willing. We have to have the right spirit in order to give heart from our hearts and give generously. And then Paul says, let me tell you, Corinthians, about this church in Macedonia. Let me tell you about the Macedonian Christians, what they did. Let me talk about their experience. He says, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace God has given the Macedonian churches. In verses 1 through 5, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy, listen to these words, overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. You know, so those are diametrically opposed things. Overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. What couplings? Overflowing joy, extreme poverty, rich generosity. What words? For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So he uses this Macedonian church as an example to the Corinthians. This congregation in Macedonia is a poor congregation. It's a Greek Gentile congregation, but it's a poor congregation. And Paul doesn't expect them to share in the collection. He doesn't even think that they have the resources to give anything for this poor saints collection. But the Macedonians let Paul know that they want to be included. They plead for the privilege of sharing in the collection. Now that is something very insightful. Because here is a poor church that hears about this poor saints collection for the poor church in Jerusalem. And instead of being excluded, they say, include us. We want to give in the offering as well. What it says to me is, don't set up your system just for VIP folk. You know, the big shots, the muckety muck, the folk that got money. You know, a whole lot of folk got money but won't give any money. You better. There are many others who are eager to participate. They might not have as much as everybody else has, but they still want to do something for somebody else. And so what does he say these Macedonians do? The first thing they do is they seek God in prayer. He says they gave themselves first of all to God. They pray about their giving. They seek God's guidance and God's will. In order to give from the heart, the heart has to be saturated by God's will. That's why I said at the beginning, pray for yourself and pray for others, because only God's Spirit can break barriers about giving in our lives and in our hearts. We can't do it. Only God can do it. The Macedonians give themselves to the Lord, wanting their gift to be guided by God. And listen, also, this is a church, the text says, that has endured severe affliction and poverty. They are struggling. And they know what it's like to struggle. They know what poverty feels like. And despite their struggles, they find the joy of giving. So this is a church that says, we heard about these poor Christians in Jerusalem. And we are poor Christians here in Macedonia. They need us now, and we don't have much. But we know what they're going through. And because we know what they're going through, we're going to take from the little we have and give to them, because we find solidarity with these other Christians in Jerusalem. These Jewish congregations were not doing well, but this church in Macedonia decides to do something about it. We're in a pandemic right now. We know it. Seems like we're getting out, but we're getting reports about potential food and supply shortages and also toy shortages and other things. Contractors and companies are on hold across America because the supply chain is interrupted. There are these big old tankers out there on the water off of the coast of California and in other places, and they've got all of the supplies but not enough manpower to get those supplies where they need to go. And many industries are being impacted, and many families are struggling as well during this pandemic. And sometimes when you go through something like this, it's difficult to think about helping others when you're in the storm yourself. I get it. Sometimes you've got to work on your own stuff. But these Macedonian Christians don't feel that way. They say, we're struggling, but we heard about our sisters and brothers in Jerusalem who are struggling, and we want to do something for the sisters and brothers. That's the same thing that's happening all across the South, the Gulf region right now. People have not rebuilt their homes. They're still covered with tarps in Louisiana and other places in the Gulf region, but they are helping each other. If you've got something to eat, we'll go over to your house. If I've got something, you come over to my house. If you need somebody to help move your debris, we'll clean off your property, and then we'll go to somebody else's property. We're helping each other. That comes from a heart of generosity. These Macedonians, Paul says, show what it's like to be generous. And then he says, and I'm done, that the generosity of these Macedonians is rooted in divine grace. Listen to what he says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Paul is astonished by the generosity of this impoverished congregation. And then he thinks about it and he understands how it happens. He says it's generated by the grace of God. That their giving is a grace giving. It is given through divine grace. The critical component of generosity is grace. God gives us giving grace. Not just saving grace, but giving grace to share what God has gifted us with, to share what God has blessed us with somebody else, and to do it for ministry. And therefore, when Paul says this is a grace giving, he says in effect that giving then is a ministry. It's not just an activity in worship. Giving is a ministry, and generous giving becomes a ministry toward the body of Christ. And when generosity is directed toward those in need, those who are struggling, then it's not about charity. When you give to somebody who's struggling, it's not about charity. It's about justice. It's about establishing equity and justice among people who have nothing and whose backs are against the wall. When we send to Haiti, when we send to Louisiana, when we send to persons, it's about establishing justice. It's because we say we've got more than these people have. And because we have more, we ought to bring them up to our level so there's equity across the plain. Isn't that something, beloved? It's not charity. Paul asks the stronger churches to give to the churches in need. He says to these Gentile churches, you got money. You have strong congregations. Give to some of these other churches that don't have as much to establish sufficient and equal resources for the church. The ability to be willing to go beyond expectation is a gift from God. And not everybody can do it. That's why you got to pray about it. And when you find somebody who is generous, who's willing to give, and you don't want to give, you leave them alone. Don't discourage them. Why are you giving so much to the church? That's why we can't call off the names, because some of the people will go up and say, God bless you, but somebody else will go up and criticize them and criticize their gift to the church. If somebody has the gift to give generously, move out of the way and let God use them and bless them to do God's work. God not only likes cheerful givers, but God also likes generous givers. And generosity is not about building greater barns or trying to build some person up. It's about expanding the work of the kingdom of God. And God says, give so that people in the church can do his will and experience his grace. He even talks about how God gives. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. God emptied all of his resources into Jesus Christ. And God gave us everything so that we might be rich in Jesus Christ. And God says, because I've given you everything, you ought to give me everything that God has blessed you with. And one of these, I'm almost done. For years, one of our members, she's now asleep in the silent land, shared her generosity with others in this church and around the world. And whenever we collected an offering, whether for the earthquake in Haiti in 2011, 10 or whatever, or the floods, she would give generously. I would get up on a Sunday and I would say, next Sunday, I want you to come prepared to give a special offering. That's what we call that special plan giving for something specific. To give a special offering for the hurricane victims in Louisiana or in Texas or the flood victims or for whatever it was. And whether I gave a 1 week's notice or 1 week notice or 2 weeks notice, it didn't matter. After they would collect the money and count the money, the deacons would say, Pastor, we got X number of dollars for Hurricane Ida. And sometimes I'd be so shocked at the number, and I'd say, wow, they gave that much money? And they said, yes, but one person gave more than half of it. Without fail, when we had these major offerings, one woman in this church gave more than half, and sometimes 75%. If it was $10,000, she gave $7,000 of it. Come on, somebody. Not just one time, but time after time after, and she still gave her tithes and offerings. She still gave her fifth Sunday mission offering. She still gave to the musicale. She gave to everything else, but she was committed to people who are in need. She sleeps in the silent land. And when I thought about this, I said, this woman had the grace of giving. She had the grace of generosity. God blessed her with resources. And she said, I'm going to use those resources to build up the kingdom of God. God is calling for generosity and heartfelt giving. God is calling for us to go beyond what is expected and look into some other windows for giving. And what we can learn from Paul is, we have to learn from the way others give. Look at these Macedonian Christians who didn't have much, but gave generously. And we learn that giving is a grace from God. We are recipients of grace, and we've got to extend that grace to others. We give in proportion to what we have. We learn that from the widow's mite. And a willing heart is important. And so Jesus sits beside the offering, looking not just at the gold that is offered. And he says, not what did he give, but how much did he withhold? And by that standard, he looks at the widow giving her two mites and says that she's given her all. By the gates of the treasury, Jesus still sits and watches over the gifts we bring. And he measures the gold that we give to him by the gold to which we cling. How much to revive a starving world? How much for our pampered plates? How much to extend the kingdom's frontiers? How much do we keep for our own estates? How much have we sent to the mission field to invest in the souls of people? How much to your broker for stocks and bonds to return to yourself again? Is it God or mammon who holds the key to the vault where your treasure lies? There's a curse or a blessing locked within that will follow beyond the skies. Let us pray. God, forgive us for not reflecting seriously enough about giving. And forgive us for not realizing that you own everything. You own the earth. You own those who live in the earth. And all the treasure we have, you have given us the grace and capacity to receive. And help us, oh God, to know that we are stewards, stewards of the resources you've placed in our hands. And you expect us to return to you in full measure the gifts you have given to us. So help us, oh God, to pray about giving and tithing. Speak to us. Help us to pray about heartfelt and generous giving. Somebody in here and somebody listening has more than they will ever use. And they're thinking about how they're going to settle their estate. Help them to think about the kingdom. And let your spirit speak to them. Ebenezer doesn't just need resources in 2021. If Ebenezer is to be around in 2051, those of us who are here right now have to make sure that takes place for future generations, for the work of the kingdom. Bless us. Speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. The invitation to Christ is extended. Only God can give us the grace to respond to what God wants. And that grace is embodied in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. We offer Christ to you right now. Come on, brothers. Extend the privilege of the church for you to receive Jesus by faith, to come into your life. And when you ask him to come in, let us know about it, because we want to be a place where you can grow and be nurtured in your walk with the Lord. As we sing, we offer Christ. Invite you to join us this evening at 4 for the annual musicale. It's going to be wonderful. Pray for our music staff, our singers, guest choristers, and guest musicians. You'll hear a couple of original pieces written by Jay Tillman for the choir, and especially for this day. So please come. And of course, it's the first musicale under the leadership of young maestro Isaac Moshe. We're praying for him. God bless you. After the benediction, the ushers will exit row by row. Another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that on this day we again consider the stewardship of giving and think about heartfelt and generous giving. Thank you for reminding us through your servant Paul that the Corinthians must be willing to give. Let's be a willing spirit to give generously. Work with our spirit, O God. Work with our hearts. And thank you, O God, for reminding us of the example of the Macedonian Christians. gave themselves first to the Lord and then to the gift of giving, and they gave out of their poverty generously. What an example. Help us to think about that. And then, oh God, thank you for reminding us that generosity is a grace gift. It's a gift from God. Your divine grace enables us to give from the heart, enables us to give generously. Speak to our hearts, oh God. Speak that our souls may hear. In Christ's name. And now we ask your benediction upon us. We pray, oh God, that you will be with us each step of the way. May your Spirit guide us, and the power and presence of your Spirit keep us. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.